Well, amen. Thank you, choir. He is God alone. Amen. Good to see you. Hey, I missed y'all last week. Where were you? I had the privilege last week of preaching at a church. A good friend of mine is actually a member of our church when I was down in South Georgia. He's now pastor of the Morgan Baptist Church in Southwest Georgia. They were celebrating their 120th anniversary. And I had the privilege of being able to preach for them, and I appreciate you allowing me to be able to go do that for them. I appreciate Eric, I understand, had a pinch hit for Richard. I understand Eric did a great job. Appreciate him preaching and filling in for me. You'll notice in your bulletin this morning there are no notes of the outline of the message. That was my fault. I thought I had what I needed to be able to send them that while I was in South Georgia last week. I did not. So you're going to have to listen the old-fashioned way this morning. There is a place for you to take some notes, and I do pray that you will listen. Let me also say for our Wednesday night group, we've been studying through Psalms. We've studied Psalm 19, Psalm 15 this Wednesday night, another one of my favorites, Psalm 139. And so if you haven't been in the habit of coming, I hope that you will be here, and we'll study through Psalm 139. Well, the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing a series of messages with you entitled Living by Faith. And the reason I really felt led of the Lord to do this in the beginning messages as your interim is for a couple of reasons. The Bible teaches us that we are to live and walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And folks, that's true for us as individual believers, but it's very true for a church. If you want God's best in the days to come, you're going to have to continue to walk by faith. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to believe God. And if you don't, you will not be very pleasing to God. And a lot of churches never press on to where God wants them to be because somewhere along the way, they start to walk by sight instead of walking by faith. So that's where we have been going with these messages. I'm going to stay in this for another couple of weeks. This morning, the title of the message is simply Believing God. Believing God. And since we're on the topic of faith, I think this would be a very appropriate message to deal with. And I want to introduce the message this morning by asking you a question. And you just answer it to yourself. I hope you have an answer for this question. But let me ask you this morning, what are you believing God to do in your life? Now let me ask that again. What are you believing God to do in your life? And for this church, let me ask you as a whole, what are you believing God to do in and through your church? Well, a lot of times you ask those questions, and if people are just very honest, they'd say something like this: "Well, Pastor, I'm not sure. I don't think I'm believing God to do anything in my life, or in the life of my church." Or you might say, "I don't have a clue. I don't know. In fact, didn't even know I was supposed to be believing God to do something." Well, folks, I learned a long time ago that you usually get what you're looking for. Amen. And the reason a lot of people don't see God working in their life, they're not expecting God to work in their life. And the reason a lot of churches are not seeing God moving in their churches is not because God doesn't want to move, and it's not because God can't move. Because we're not believing Him to move. We're not looking for Him to do anything. We're not expecting God to do anything. And as a result, we get what we expect. So this morning, we're going to talk about believing God, and in a moment, we're going to look at a person who knew how to believe God, and I pray that God will use this message to both encourage you and challenge you in this matter of believing God. Some years ago, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Bruce Wilkerson wrote a little book, probably many of you read, entitled The Prayer of Jabez. Anybody read that book? Boy, overnight sensation. It sold millions of copies. I'm not preaching his book this morning, but I mention that just because he kind of brought to light a man in the Bible that very few of us had heard about up to that point. And this man was named Jabez. And I want us to examine his life because we find in the life of the man Jabez the story and the life history of someone who knew how to believe God. I asked you to turn to 1 Chronicles in your Bible. You probably had to unstick these pages. It's not one of those books you go to very often. We're going to the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles this morning. If you've ever tried to read through your Bible all in one year, you know when you got to the, Leviticus was tough enough. But when you got to 1 Chronicles, you probably skipped them. Because starting in the very first of it, you find the genealogy of Adam. And for the next nine chapters, you find, and I'm quoting from the King James Version, who begot who. And you read that, or you look at that, and you go, there's nothing in there for me to be interested in. Nothing in there is going to help me spiritually. Nothing in there I can benefit from. So you do what most people do, and they go straight to the 10th chapter, and you skip the first nine chapters. If you do that, guess what? You miss this story. You miss a significant story about a man who knew how to believe God to do great and mighty things in his life. So it's the man Jabez we're going to take a look at this morning. Our text is 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. If you'll stand with me in the honor of God's word, I will read our verses out loud, and you follow along there in your copy of the Bible. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you will bless it, and I pray that you will use it to speak to our hearts this morning for your glory and honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. From our text this morning, I want you to look at three very important truths about this man, Jabez. We're going to look at the person of Jabez. We're going to study the prayer of Jabez. And then we're going to consider the provision for Jabez, the person of Jabez. To my knowledge, and I think I'm correct in this, this is the only place in the Bible. These are the only two verses in our scriptures that tell us anything about this man, Jabez. But what powerful and insightful verses these are. No greater testimony could be given of a man than that is said here of Jabez in these two verses. In fact, from these two verses, we can conclude four facts about Jabez. Number one, Jabez had brothers. If you notice again, verse 9, it simply says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, we're not sure how many brothers he had because the Bible does not see fit to tell us how many he had. But we do know he had brothers, and it tells us that he was more honorable than his brothers. Secondly, we know the meaning of his name. Jabez means pain. Verse 9 tells us that. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now, we're not sure of the circumstances of Jabez's birth, but obviously from giving of his name, meaning pain, his mother either had difficult time carrying him in her womb for 9 months, or during the birth process itself, or maybe both, she experienced great pain. So when her son was born, she named him Pain. Now, I don't know about you, but that just seems to be a little odd to me. Name your child Pain. I know some children that should have been named Pain after they were born, but not in the process of it, but that's what she named him. Thirdly, we know about Jabez. We knew he knew how to pray. Because the only thing the Bible tells us about what he did was he prayed a prayer. It was a prayer that God heard, and it was a prayer that God answered. Jabez knew how to pray. And the fourth thing we know about Jabez is this: he knew how to believe God. And I'll share more on that in just a moment. But because he could believe God, God answered his prayer. The person of Jabez. Secondly, this morning, I want you to consider the prayer of Jabez. If you look in verse 10, and we move from the person of Jabez to the prayer that Jabez prayed. Verse 10 contains the entire prayer. According to the New American Standard, which I read from, this prayer has only 33 words in its length. But what a powerful prayer it is. And I think as you read down this prayer, you find that he had four primary requests that he prayed of God or to God. Number one, bless me indeed. That's what he prayed. Bless me indeed. Jabez wanted God to bless him, but he wanted more than just a little blessing from God. Notice that he says, bless me indeed. In other words, Jabez wanted God to bless him in a big way. He wanted God to bless him real good, if you would. This man, Jabez, would not settle for just a small token blessing from God. He wanted God to do something great and mighty in his life. Bless me indeed, he prayed. You know, folks, we all ought to want the blessings of God on our life. But this man, Jabez, was bold enough to ask God for it. And not only did he ask God for a blessing, he wanted God to bless him in a big way. One of my favorite prayers in the New Testament is found in the book of Ephesians when Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers. And as a part of that prayer, in fact, there's a couple of places in the book of Ephesians where Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers, and really not only for them, he's praying for all of us. But in that prayer, he prays the following. This is found in Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. And Paul's really praying for these Ephesian believers exactly what Jabez prayed to God. This is what Paul says. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that worked within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to his power. Paul prayed that for the Ephesians. And if you know the reality of that truth, hey, you don't have a hard time doing what Jabez did. When you pray, you ask God to bless you, you can say, God, bless me indeed. That's how Jabez prayed. But folks also believe that there's another insight to be pointed out that you can't overlook in this short prayer of Jabez as he asked God to bless him indeed. It goes much deeper than just asking God for a blessing. I really think and I really believe you find in Jabez's prayer the principle of what we call prevailing prayer taught here. In other words, Jabez would not give up in prayer until God blessed him indeed. He would not let go of God in prayer until God blessed him, and blessed him indeed. The text seems to imply that Jabez kept on praying until he got what he asked for from God. Jesus taught us much about prayer in the scriptures. In fact, it's interesting, when you study the life of Jesus with his disciples, there's only one thing that I can remember the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to do or what to do. As they had watched the life of the master for 3.5 years, they made the connection. The one thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to do was, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Because in watching Jesus, they connected what all he did for God's glory and honor as he ministered there in Israel and his prayer life to the Father. Lord, teach us to pray. And one of those principles that Jesus taught his disciples about prayer is in this whole matter of prevailing prayer. In the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 to 7, we read the following. Now he, Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? And the answer is certainly not. And Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, prevailing prayer. It's not just a matter of a passing little prayer, God, give me something big. It's a matter of holding on to God and praying and asking God until you see God move. Bless me now. Indeed, Jabez prayed. And that was his attitude. He's saying to the Lord, God, bless me indeed. I won't give up until you bless me. Enlarge my borders, the second part of his prayer here in verse 10. For some unknown reason, Jabez wanted the size of his land increased. In fact, the King James Version puts it interestingly. It says, enlarge my coast. For some reason, we do not know the reason why, Jabez wanted the properties of his property borders enlarged and increased. And the truth of the matter is, that's what God did. If you go on and read through your Bible in the Old Testament, there was later a city that was established and was named Jabez. That may well have been the answer to God's prayer to Jabez in enlarging his border. But nonetheless, that's what Jabez prayed for. Enlarge my property, Lord. Enlarge my coast. But you know, I really believe when you read through this, Jabez had something deeper in mind than just physical property. I believe he's really praying, Lord, enlarge my life spiritually. Enlarge the spiritual borders of my heart and my life. You know, God just doesn't answer our prayers to give us more in this physical life and living. He doesn't just bless us so we can have more of this world's goods. God teaches us sometimes to prevail in prayer in order to teach us to trust him, to believe him, to ask him to do great things in our lives. And sometimes he even delays in the answers to those questions to teach us to truly trust him with all of our heart and all of our mind. That seems to be what happened in the life of Jabez. God was teaching him spiritually how to trust him and how to believe him. God was enlarging his life, if you would, as he learned to pray and trust God. And folks, it is as we learn to believe God for great things in prayer that we are best able to see God at work in our lives. He blesses us and he prospers us and he establishes us in ways that we can never imagine or expect. And God is pleased to answer the prayer for our spiritual lives to be enlarged for his glory and honor. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my borders. Here's the third part of his prayer that he prayed. That your hand might be with me. God, bless me, enlarge my property so that your hand can be with me. In other words, I believe Jabez was praying this. Listen, Lord, I want you to be honored in your answering this prayer. I want the answer of this prayer to bring you glory and honor. I want others to know that your hand was upon me through the answer to my prayer. Now, there's a whole lot that we could say about that, a whole lot we could say on this morning, but I'll just simply say this. I really believe that when God answers our prayers, particularly when we're asking him to do something big, he will only do so when it first and foremost brings him glory and honor. Again, I go back to Jesus. When Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he taught them this same truth. We have what we call the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That title is probably not a good title for that prayer. It really wasn't a prayer that Jesus gave us just so we could memorize it and repeat it, even though it's certainly nothing wrong with doing that. It was really more a model prayer that Jesus spoke to his disciples to teach them how to pray. And in that model prayer, he teaches them to pray this same prayer for God's glory and honor. Answer prayer, Lord, for your glory and honor. Listen, I'm going to read part of it, Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Again, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Jesus said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then this is what he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here's what I believe Jabez is praying for in this prayer that we have recorded for us in 1 Chronicles 4. Lord, when you answer this prayer to enlarge my borders, I want you and your kingdom to be honored and glorified by the answer. And folks, God's not going to bless you just to bless you. You understand that? He will bless you. In fact, God will bless you beyond ways you can even imagine if you're going to give him the glory and the honor for it. Jabez prayed that same prayer. Lord, I want you to be honored in the answer to this prayer. And there's a fourth part of his prayer that this I want us to look at for a moment. It's quite an interesting addendum, if you would, to his prayer. In fact, it's very interesting what he prayed, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Bless me indeed, Lord. Enlarge my coast. Let your hand be upon me so that your power and glory can be seen. But Lord, don't let your answer to my prayer cause me harm. Don't let it pain me. Interesting prayer, wouldn't you agree? I think Jabez is praying this, Lord, don't let the answer to this prayer cause me to do wrong. Don't let it become a source of evil in my life. Don't let the answer to this prayer bring pain to my life. Now, let's stay there just for a minute. This is an important truth that I think we overlook. Let me see if I can explain it to you this way. Do you realize that God's blessings, his enlargement in our lives, can sometimes be used by us as humans for evil? Now, God never causes it to be evil. God never intends for it to be used for evil. But because of our fallen nature, because of the wickedness of the human heart apart from God, we can even take his blessings and use it for evil in our hearts and our lives. Let me illustrate. Here, God has blessed you to be able to have an abundance. He's blessed you with the ability to purchase some things, things that are not just necessary for life, beyond the necessary matters of life. Maybe God has blessed you so that you can buy a boat, or you can buy a home, a second home in the mountains or down at the beach. God blesses you so you have a very, very nice car. I preached this message one time and I left off golf clubs. That's my thing. And I had people come tell me afterwards, preacher, you left off golf clubs in that list. Let me make sure I cover that. You're able to buy a brand new set of golf clubs with God's blessings. God's blessed you indeed. And then all of a sudden, you take that boat, you take those golf clubs, you take that house, and you start to use it in a way that God never intended. Oh, at first, you never thought about using it to miss church on Sunday. I will go to the lake on Saturday. We're not going to miss church by being able to take God's blessing, the boat, and go use it. We'll not go to church because we know that's where God wants us to be on Sunday. This is His day. But it had been raining all week long. Been raining on Saturday. Sunday was beautiful. And we begin to rationalize, oh, God, what? God won't mind. God won't mind one Sunday. He understands. And by the way, folks, He does understand. You miss Sunday using your blessing from God. Boy, it was so good. Next weekend, it's raining again. But they're expecting another beautiful day on Sunday. You know, nobody really missed us last week at church. It won't hurt us to miss another Sunday. And before you know it, this family, this person, is missing church more on Sunday than they're being present on Sunday. Do you know what they've done? They have taken the blessings of God and they've allowed it to cause them harm. It's become a source of evil for them. You know, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. Amen? If you want to know what the Bible means, just look it up somewhere else in the Bible. It's going to tell you. So let me read you a commentary about this prayer that Jabez prayed that I think makes it crystal clear. It's found in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 10 to 15. And this is what God told His people once He was to bring them into the land of Canaan, and He was going to give them blessings and blessings and blessings, things that they didn't deserve, things that they did not earn, things that they way beyond them. He blessed them indeed. And with His blessing, God gives this warning. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. When God blesses you indeed, watch yourself, it tells us. Listen at what He says to these folks. Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship Him and swear by His name only. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you as a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and He will wipe you off the face of this earth. I've watched our country over the last 20 years in amazement. There's no doubt God has blessed America. You're blind if you don't see that. From the very beginning of our country, it was established on the principles of God. And God blessed us. But it seems to me over the last 20, maybe even longer, we've done exactly what we were warned about doing or not doing. We have taken God's blessings. Folks, if you don't believe that, go on a mission trip with me sometime. Go with Richard sometimes. Go to a third world country. You don't think we're blessed beyond measure? Go somewhere where they don't have what you've got. and you would see how much God has blessed us. And we have taken the very blessings of Almighty God, and we've allowed it to cause our hearts to become cold against God, and we as a country have forgotten God. And God's saying, okay, have it your way. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, he's taking his hand off us. I don't know where we're headed right now. We'll see. But I believe because we have taken God for granted, we have forgotten him. If it wasn't for a small remnant in this country who have not forgotten God, he would have already destroyed this land, I believe, with all my heart. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from harm, that it might not pain me. The person of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez. Lastly, this morning, I'll close with this, the provision for Jabez. The provision for Jabez. And what a response to provision by God for the praying person of Jabez. I love what the Bible says here. After Jabez had prayed his 33-word prayer, the Bible simply says of God's provision, and God granted him what he requested. Wow. What a prayer life. Can you say that about your prayers? Can you say that about what God, you're asking God to do in your life? And God granted you what he requested, what you requested. He did Jabez. And I think you have to ask the question, why? Why did God grant him what he asked for? And I'll give you four quick reasons and I'm through. Take me an hour and a half, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. I hope y'all know I say that kiddingly. I don't mean that. I'm sincere. It might take me an hour, but it won't take me an hour and a half. I want to give you four reasons why I believe God answered his prayer like he did. And then I'm going to close with an illustration this morning. Number one, he answered this prayer because it was a prayer of faith. Simple as that. Jabez believed God. You can't get away from that. He asked God. He believed God would answer when he asked him. Time and time and time again in the Bible connects our asking in faith. Matthew 8:13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, let it be done to you according to how you have believed. And the servant was healed that hour, Matthew 9:29. And Jesus touched their eyes, saying, be it done to you according to your faith, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they shall be granted to you. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And the implication is there, seek him by faith. God answers this prayer, Jabez, because it was a prayer of faith. Jabez was trusting and believing God to do something big in his life. It was a prayer of faith. Secondly, God answered this prayer because it was a prayer according to the will of God. It was a prayer according to the will of God. You say, how do you know that, Ken? It's simple. I know it was the will of God because God gave me what he was asking for. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Listen at what John told us in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Jabez asked God to do something big, and God gave it to him. I personally believe it says a whole lot about Jabez. Jabez knew God. He had sought the heart of God. He had believed God. He knew what God's will was before he ever asked God for it. And because it was God's will, God granted him what he asked for. Folks, don't lose sight of that. Hey, God's not interested in just giving us every little thing that we want without any thought of it being his will. Thank God that we have a God who loves us enough that he doesn't give us every selfish wish that we want. He only gives us those things that he has in mind for our lives. And if we will take the time to seek the very heart and mind of God, God will reveal to us that which he wants to do in our life so that we can ask him to do what he wants to do in the first place. And when we're praying the will of God, God is delighted to do what he wants to do. And this also stops us from praying selfishly. Well, one of the things that concerned me about that book that came out, and I don't think Wilkerson ever intended for this to happen, but it happened. It seemed like that we all of a sudden used this prayer of Jabez as some hocus-pocus magic formula that we could repeat and get anything we wanted out of God. That's not what God does. God's not some glorified, sanctified Santa Claus in heaven wanting to give you everything that you want. But God is interested in giving us what his will is, doing what he wants to be done in us and through us. Jabez knew God's will for his life. And he was simply asking God to do something that he knew God wanted to do, in fact, was already doing. It was a prayer of faith. It was a prayer according to the will of God. Thirdly, God answered this prayer because it was a prayer that brought God and God alone glory and honor. It brought God and God alone glory and honor. Remember that part where Jabez, Lord, let your hand be upon me. Jabez asked God to do something in which the answer of the prayer would bring God honor. His name would be glorified. So when the answer to this prayer came, God would be honored by it. People would not say, look at old Jabez. Look at what he's doing. Oh no. They would say, look at what God is doing for Jabez. I take you back to what Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Church, listen to me this morning. God is pleased to answer the prayer which brings him glory. He is not interested in glorifying a person, a plan, a program, or a process. In fact, he will not share his glory with anyone or anything, but he will glorify himself. And he delights in answering prayer that brings him and him alone glory and honor. So church, when you start to think about what does God want to do in the life of this church in the days to come, it's not about you. It's not even about building up this church. It's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about bringing him glory and honor. And asking God to do such a work in this church that when people talk about this church, they won't be talking about the church. They'll be talking about what God is doing in this church. That's why God answered Jabez's prayer. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer according to the will of God. It's a prayer that brought God glory and honor. And lastly, it was a prayer that only God could answer. Now listen to me. Don't miss this. I believe part of the reason that God answered Jabez's prayer was because God was honored by the bigness of Jabez's request. Jabez asked God to do something only God could do, and it brought God glory and honor. And God was pleased. God was honored. It brought him great pleasure because Jabez asked him to do something only he could do. Jeremiah 32, 17, O Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power, by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Amen. Jeremiah 33, 3, God said, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. When I was serving First Baptist Church of Lilburn, God did a lot in our church, but one of the things that he did was to really put a heart for the world on our hearts as a church. Not only did the world come to our community there in Lilburn, we were sending people to different parts of the world. In fact, I think there was one year we had mission work going on in 22 different countries. And God was just, we were just delighted at the doors that God was opening for us. But it was during that time and through the leadership of one of my staff members that I had there that we began to sense God calling us to adopt an unreached people group. And God began to lead us to do exactly that. In fact, God led us to adopt the country of Yemen. In fact, let me tell you something, and I know this from being there, and I know this from sending teams over there. There is probably not a spiritually darker place on this planet than the country of Yemen. I cannot even begin to explain to you how dark it is spiritually. And yet God began to lay that on our heart. It looked like an impossible task. But as God began to open doors, and God even gave us favor with some of the government to get into the country and begin to minister, they didn't know obviously what we were doing, but God began to supernaturally open the doors for us to come in that country. And we began to partner with other groups, our International Mission Board, other mission organizations, other individuals that were working in the country of Yemen. And we began to ask God to do something big in that country. God, bring great glory and honor to your name. We were believing God to do something special. We were believing God to do a special work. It was God's will. We had no doubt about it. The reason we knew that is because the Bible makes it heart clear that God's heart is that no one perishes, but all come to repentance. He desires that all people come to him. Would God get glorified and honored in the answer of that prayer for God to be able to do a work in Yemen? And the answer was obvious, yes. Look, when God begins to work and began to work in that country, you have to say, look at what God's doing, because only God could do it. Was it something only God could do? Absolutely. Again, with God, all things are possible. With man, it is impossible. If you know anything about what's happened in the country of Yemen a few years ago because of all the unrest in that country, all of our mission groups, IMB, other groups left. Many of them were kicked out of the country. Those that were not kicked out were left for fear of their own lives. That dark stronghold of Islam, the wickedness in that country, everybody deserted it. We, a couple years ago, Rob and I had gotten word that some of our missionaries who had been in Yemen were home. And we set up a time to meet them, met them for lunch, took them out. Not have heard anything from Yemen for a long period of time. We were interested in what had happened. They were there at one time. They were asked to leave. They had been relocated to another country. But we asked them, tell us, have you heard anything from Yemen? Have you heard what's happening? How are the believers that are there? How is the church? Though, folks, we're talking less than 1% of the population of that country were believers in Jesus. The gentleman began just really to immediately start giving a beaming report that even with the missionaries gone, The church in Yemen is growing strong. The believers are strengthened. The word of God is being given out. Many people come into faith in Jesus. And even though there are no mission teams going, there's no churches like this that people can go to, there's no direct ministry going on, behind the scenes, God is working through his small church there to bring great glory and honor to his name, and many people are being saved. Now, did we have anything to do with that? Well, we had a small part to do in it. Thousands of people have been praying for that country. But folks, when you see what God's doing in that country, the only thing you can say is look at what God is doing in one of the spiritually darkest places on this planet. What do you believe in God to do in your life? What are you asking God to do in you? What do you believe in God to work in your heart, to grow you spiritually, to strengthen you, to cause you to live more for Jesus? And church, what are you doing? What are you believing God to do? Hey, listen, God wants to do far beyond what you can imagine. Again, I'm going to preach on this in a few weeks. It's not about you. It's about his name being glorified and honored in this place. And when you get busy doing that, God begins to work in such a way that his name is glorified. And he does do a work way beyond anything we can imagine. But we're going to have to trust him. We're going to have to believe him. And as we do, it's probably going to mean we're going to have to change. Our heart attitude has got to change. Some of our actions might need to change. There may be things we need to repent of. There may be things we need to start doing that we have not been doing. But it all starts at the point of faith. You might be here today and you've never met Jesus. You've never come to salvation. Or you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you've even been brought up in the church, but you've never personally had him change your life. Folks, how do you get saved? How does a person step into a relationship with God? How does a person come to know Jesus? It starts at the point of faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, what, church? What? Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you're here this morning and you've never believed in him, oh, my dear friend, I pray even now God's knocking on your heart's door. He's drawing you to him this very moment. Father, thank you for your word today. Don't know exactly how you want me to end this message. Lord, it is a challenge. So this simple man's life, his simple testimony, two verses in the Bible, you gave it to us to teach us how to trust you, how to believe you. God, may you build faith in our lives. Help us to be men and women. Help us to be a church that will believe you. Help us not to be so wound up walking by our sight, by what we can rationalize, what we can figure. Move us beyond ourselves to be able to trust a God who wants to do beyond, exceedingly beyond all that we could ask or think. And then, Lord, for that person that might be here today that does not know you, even in the quietness of these closing moments, God, I pray you'll draw them to yourself. Only you can do that. Only you can save a soul. Do your saving this morning, Father. Draw that person to yourself. With your heads bowed, if you're here, and as we're going to stand and sing in just a moment, you need to give your life to Jesus. Hey, we're going to invite you to come to Christ today. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to be standing down front. Some of the other pastors will be here. You need to give your life to Jesus. Let me just ask, as we sing, do you step out from where you'll be standing, make your way to one of us and just say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. That's all you need to say. We'll share with you from God's word how you can do that today and how you can walk out of here a changed person with the promise of everlasting life. Would you come to Jesus today? Church's altar's open if you need to come and pray, or maybe just where you stand, there needs to be a fresh commitment of your life to Jesus, to trust him even more. I pray you'll make that commitment today. Lord, help us to respond to your glory and honor, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Mark leads us in our singing. You respond this morning as God has spoken to your heart.